Take your Bible with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22. We'll read some scripture here, beginning with verse number 1. Revelation 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, open our eyes to the wonderful, prepared, blissful place that is waiting for all the redeemed. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these last two chapters of Revelation, which open up to us such a wonderful thing about the future you have for your children. Lord, I thank you that heaven is a place where there's no sin, none, where we will live and serve you forever. Lord, I thank you for this. Open our understanding as we look to your word now. Guide my thoughts. I pray and I rest myself in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Seven wonderful things about heaven. First of all, I want you to consider, as we have looked last week, we had "A New World is Coming," was the title of the message. A new world is coming, and we've transitioned into talking about today the seven wonderful things, or seven wonderful things. It's not the only wonderful things about heaven, but it's seven that I saw here in the text. And so, in chapter 21 and the first six verses or so of chapter 22, we find here a glimpse of heaven. We find a glimpse of that celestial city that God, the Lord Jesus, has gone to prepare for us. And I want you to consider the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit." I believe one emphasis of that is the revelation that the Spirit of God gave to John on the island of Patmos. This is the last stitch of Scripture prophesied. This is it. This is not just the end of the Bible because that's the way the books are arranged. This is the end of the Bible because this is the end of the revelation. This is the completed message. This is what God has given us. And the conclusion of all things. And we see a wonderful, wonderful truth here. First of all, this morning, I want you to notice that heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a fairy tale nor a fable. Heaven is a real, tangible place. Oh, praise God for this wonderful place called heaven. And I want you to see how tangible it is. Heaven is a place that we'll be able to see with our eyes. It's a place we'll be able to touch with our hands. It's a place we'll be able to taste the wonderful goodness of the fruit on the tree of life. It's a place we are going to enjoy for all eternity. Heaven is a real, tangible place. Consider a few verses from chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Now, we don't have these verses on the screen because I want you to look in your Bible. And we're going to draw a lot of scripture right from, a lot of verses right from chapter 21 and 22 of Revelation. So I hope that even if you're joining at home, online, maybe even at a later date, grab a Bible and look on in these two chapters, glorious chapters of the Word of God. And so chapter 21 and verse 2, John says this. He says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We see here John sees this celestial city. This is a real place. This is not in mere imagination. This is God disclosing this real place to John. We can see it's a city that is not stationary. It's not attached into a specific location, but it will be moved. I believe this is the place that Jesus said he went to prepare for us. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. But look at verse 5. Chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words, say it with me, are true and faithful. God says, this is not a fairy tale. This is not just mere imagination. These words are true. I wonder if John was so awestruck, even just having seen what he already saw, which of course there's more that God revealed after this. But at the beginning of this, as John is just taken aback with this celestial city and a place where there's no tears, verse 4, wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Old man John thought, wow, this is wonderful. Can you imagine all the emotions John has gone through in receiving the tragic and the righteous judgment of God in the tribulation and all the destruction and all the damnation and the previous chapter talking about the great white throne judgment where all the lost, all the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. And John is just, wow, it's heavy material. And then John sees the celestial home of the redeemed. And he's just taken aback. And the angel says to him, Hey, John, these words are true and faithful. This is real. Heaven is a real place. Chapter 22, verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water. This is a real river. This is the real deal. It's a river of life. It's clear as crystal. This is the most beautiful river there will ever be. A pure river. And again, John is told in verse 6 of chapter 22, These sayings, John, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. These things will happen, John. This is reality, John. This is what God has revealed to you and to his servants. His other servants. Consider the words of Jesus in John 14 John 14. Notice what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you." The words of Jesus to his followers. I love the word here that Jesus used in the Greek language, topos. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a topos for you." This is the same root of where we would get the word topography. A place, a real place, a tangible place, a place you can interact with, a place you can enjoy, a place you can see. And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." I believe that is this celestial city that one day will hover over the new heaven and the new earth as we see described here in these chapters. This celestial city. And so number one, heaven is a real place. As we're looking at seven wonderful things about heaven, heaven is a real place. Secondly, I want you to see that heaven is a place of exquisite beauty. Exquisite beauty. Oh, this celestial city, we are told, is prepared as a bride. Now, the description of that leans heavily towards beauty. If this city, this celestial dwelling place, look at chapter 21, verse 2. "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." This city is like a beautiful bride. It's so beautiful, the exquisite beauty of the heavenly city. Our home is wonderful. What's one wonderful thing I love about heaven? Well, it's that it's beautiful. Heaven will be a beautiful place. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 of chapter 21. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having," verse 11, "the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful in its description. And the description here is just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of this wonderful place. Look at verse 18. "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst." It's beautiful. It's absolutely, elegantly beautiful. This wonderful, real place. Consider verse 21, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Wow, wow. This is awesome. Consider chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Consider the exquisite beauty. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'll tell you what, the same God who created all things beautiful here, and I asked for a few pictures just to a glimpse of some of the beautiful scenery that we see in our world, that God has created, be it Niagara Falls and its awesomeness and its beauty, be it the Grand Canyon with the amazing carvings that God allowed through the torrents of probably the receding floodwaters, that carved out the beauty and the amazing landscape of that vast canyon. And yet, we could look further to the Rocky Mountains and see the majesty of those peaks. What a beautiful world God has made. And that's just a glimpse of a few little finite pictures of the beauty of what God has made here. But my friend, Jesus went to prepare this place, this wonderful celestial city, for us. The same God, the same Creator, who excels in goodness and beauty, and there is nothing limiting His mighty design and handiwork. This is describing mainly that celestial city. There is not much description given for the new heaven and the new earth, of which we also will have the joy and privilege to journey through and enjoy. Oh, friends, the new heaven and the new earth, without sin, without disease, is going to be heaven. There's just no describing words with which to describe it. Thirdly, I want you to notice, heaven is not only a real place, it's not only going to be an absolutely most beautiful place, but thirdly, heaven will have the best of companions. Heaven will have the best of companions. I mean, really, a beautiful, wonderful place can be tainted if it has ill companions. If you have troublemakers and wicked people and all kinds of noxious bugs and weeds. But I'm telling you, the companionship in heaven will be the saints of God, will be even the angelic host of the holy angels. From Abraham to Isaac, from Jacob to David to Elizabeth to Ruth, the list could go on of great men and women of faith, to the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the saints that have gone down through the ages. We'll be able to pull up a chair and visit with Peter. We'll be able to talk more with John about how he received this revelation and all that he felt and experienced as God revealed these truths to him. We'll be able to pull up with Daniel and ask him some questions. What was it like in that den that night? What was it like to lean your head on a vicious kitty cat? We will be able to enjoy some of the best company, the very best. The saved, down through the ages, saved family members. A grandma, a grandpa, those we haven't seen now in years, but we loved. We'll be able to visit with them and enjoy their company. My dad, who went home to glory at 19 years of my age, I'll be able to visit with him and walk with him and talk with him and enjoy the bliss of God's beautiful creation. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's a real place. It's a beautiful place. And I'll tell you what, the best of companions of all will be God, my Lord and Savior. Chapter 21, verse 3, notice what it says. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them." This is going to be different different than our connection with God now. I mean, yes, is he with us? Yes, does Jesus dwell in our hearts? Yes, yes, absolutely. That's Bible truth, but in a different way. God himself, I mean, yes, Jesus dwells within now, but in the, I don't want to say in the flesh, but I mean in the tangible ways, we'll be able to interact in a fullness, face to face with our God, to worship him, to enjoy the glory and light of his radiance. Oh yes, the best of companions. Look at chapter 22, verse 4. Chapter 22 and verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, it will be no doubt of whose you are and who loves you. You know, a man puts a ring on a woman's finger. 12 years ago, yesterday, I proposed to my wife, August the 28th, on a beautiful little nature trail near her house, down there by a park bench about halfway on that more than a mile-long trail. I got down on one knee and pulled the flowers that were earlier placed out of the bushes and pulled a ring out of my pocket and proposed to my wife, the one I loved. I asked her to marry me and 12 years ago. And you know, the companionship that we've enjoyed and the love we've had is just an inkling of the love God has for his bride, the church, the redeemed through the ages. Oh, heaven will be a place where we will see his face, the best of companions. We must hasten on. Oh, heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's a real place. It's a real place. It's a place of exquisite beauty. It's a place with the best of companions. And number four, heaven is a place of glorious liberty. Glorious liberty. Oh, consider chapter 21 and verse 4. It says this, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, friends, we'll be liberated from the curse of sin. We'll be liberated from the sorrows of this life. We'll be liberated from pain. We'll be liberated from death. Freed from all this bondage. Oh, friends, consider also chapter 21, verse 27. Verse 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We will be liberated from all this corruption, all this defilement, all of this sin. No abominations in heaven. No lies. Nothing to defile. Wonderful, wonderful, glorious liberty. Consider Romans 8. Let's turn there, if you will. Romans 8. I've got several verses I'd like to read in chapter 8 here. Verse 17, beginning. Romans 8 and verse number 17. Romans 8. Let's look at it, beginning with verse 17. The Bible says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him all the sufferings of this life, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of our corruption into, listen to this, into the glorious liberty of the children of God, even the creatures. We've talked some about the beauty of heaven, some about the landscape of heaven. But you know what? There will be creatures there, animals, the wonderful creatures God has made. And it says here, even the creature is going to be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That glorious liberty of which we will have in heaven, in our glorified body. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, that is, the redemption of our body. One day we will be liberated from this weak body into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, heaven is a wonderful place. Let's look at number five. Heaven is a place of complete fulfillment. Complete fulfillment. As the beloved children of God, we will be fulfilled. We will be able to really enjoy and to experience what it means to be all that God designed us to be. Oh, praise God. Complete fulfillment. Look at chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Listen at this. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We get to be the children of God. We get to be loved by our Father. We get to enjoy his presence. We will be fully, wonderfully functioning as his children. Oh, consider chapter 21, verse 24. 21, verse 24. It says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The nations, the beautiful intricacies of the design of the different nationalities, God will bring, and it will just add depth and beauty and flavor to that wonderful place. Fulfilled. Fulfillment. Consider verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. This is a wonderful, wonderful place, a wonderful truth here. Consider verse 25. Verse 25, it says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. It'll be a wonderful, endless day on forever, enjoying the light of God's goodness and glory, seeing God's good plans fulfilled in us. Chapter 21, verse 6. 21, verse 6. The Bible says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus here, of course, and he says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I believe this is an invitation even now as we in this day read the scriptures. Jesus wants those who thirst for this land to come to him. He says, I will give freely of the water of life. But I believe there's also a double meaning here in that land. Every need will be met and the satisfaction of our hearts will be met with the glorious living water of God and his grace. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, I'll share with you Ephesians 2, verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. God wants to show in the ages to come complete fulfillment. We are going in heaven in this wonderful place. We're going to give glory to God. Chapter 21, verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22. It says here, and there was no temple. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it and bring their glory and honor into it. We are going to worship the Lord. We're going to adore him. We're going to walk in his light. And we are going to get to serve the Lord Jesus. Chapter 22, verse 3, towards the end of the verse, it says, "The Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." His servants shall serve him. We will get to serve in this wonderful place. What will we do in heaven? We're going to serve God. We're going to enjoy what God has, but we are going to fulfill his purposes. We're going to be complete in him. Wonderful. Look at verse 5. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Without end, we will reign with Christ. We will be occupied with such important and good things. Things that are not fully yet disclosed, but things that are wonderful. Seven wonderful things about heaven. I want you to see number 6. There is restricted entrance to this place. There is restricted entrance. This is a wonderful thing. Walls, gates, and even though the gates will never be shut, we are told, but there will be restricted entrance into heaven. Heaven will be a safe place. Terrorists will not be allowed there. The wicked will not be allowed there. Sin will not be allowed there. Evil will not be allowed there. Only the saved. Consider chapter 21, verse 24. It says, "And the nations of them," would you read it with me, "which are saved shall walk in the light of it." The nations of them which are saved. You see, heaven is for a saved people. Only the saints of God in our glorified, sinless bodies will be there. Praise God. It also in verse 27, chapter 21, verse 27, it tells us, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." The Lamb's book of life. Those who have come by the way of the cross, those who have believed on God for their righteousness, be it Abraham in the Old Testament and many others, who believed God and God counted it to them for righteousness. Be it we here in the New Testament that look back to the cross and remember what Christ has done for us. He gave his life. He took our sin. And when a person puts their faith in Christ, they are saved. We could look at 1 John chapter 5. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Do you have the Son? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Oh friend, there is restricted entrance to this wonderful place. No one and nothing sinful or defiling will ever enter there. And so we've seen, number 1, heaven is a real place. Number 2, heaven is a place of exquisite beauty. Number 3, heaven will have the best of companions. Number 4, heaven is a place of glorious liberty. And number 5, heaven will be a place of complete fulfillment. And number 6, heaven has restricted entrance. But number 7, I would like you to consider that heaven is my forever home. Heaven is my forever home. We are talking this morning about my home, my place, where I'm headed. I'll tell you what, I believe it's probably less than 50 years. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there in this place. In this place. It could be sooner. The Lord Jesus could certainly come sooner than this. We could be here before 2021 is over. We don't know how long we have, but let's be faithful while we're here. But I'll tell you, because I trusted Christ as my Savior, as an 8-year-old boy, I came to the place where I realized I was a sinner. I realized that I could not save myself. I realized that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth and died on the cross for my sin. And I called on Jesus to save me as 8 years old. And you know what? He did. He kept his promise. He saved me. He redeemed my life from destruction. My sin is settled. As John 5:24 says, I've passed from death unto life. I'm saved, not because of me. I'm just the simple, humble child that called on Jesus to do for me what I could not do for myself. Have you? Maybe it is this morning you're joining us by way of this live stream. Maybe it's at a later date on a recording. Have you trusted Christ? Oh, you don't want to miss this glorious land. This place that's prepared. It's prepared for a prepared people. A saved people. A people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, God has given you the choice of whether your name will be there or not. That's your choice. Yes, there are many decisions God has made, but whether you're saved or not is your choice. He's done the work. He took your sin. He paid the price, and he offers to you the gift of eternal life. Have you believed on Jesus? It's not about being religious. It's not about how did you grow up or how often do you attend church. That really is beside the point, actually. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, you can today. Call on him in simple faith and be saved. I hope that you will. I hope you'll let us know as well. We want to hear. We want to rejoice with you. We want to help you grow. We want to be a blessing. We're here to help. Seven wonderful things about heaven. Is heaven your forever home? This is a real place, a beautiful place, a wonderful eternal home.